Let's stand one last time, if you are able, for the reading of the scripture. Thank you for being here. The message is not going to be long tonight. I know we had the Lord's Supper. And by the way, although it's hotter outside than it was last Sunday, we have all the air conditioners on this Sunday. How many of you noticed I didn't say anything until afterwards. How many noticed last Sunday it was a little bit warmer in here than normal? My wife's not a complainer with air conditioning, And she was sitting right there, and she's looking at me. She's like, it's hot in here. I'm like, air conditioner's on. She goes, must be me. I'm like, no. Just kidding. We know it's her. All right. Luke chapter 19. I want to, with missions revival on, I want to just spend a few minutes. And again, we will not be long. I know we had the Lord's Supper. And I want to, why do we do it? Why do we have an emphasis on missions? This is not your typical message. It's point blank. It's straightforward. It lays it right out for us so we understand why we do that. Where our church is at right now, it seems like, well, why would we want to, encourage people to give more money to missions when that has nothing to do with us? Well, first of all, it does have everything to do with us. And it's an important thing. And although we don't tangibly get something here, we're obedient to God. And we're going to look through that tonight. And we'll just briefly go through these several points and help us to understand why do we have an emphasis on missions. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich." He was a tax collector, okay? And of the tax collectors, he was one of the big shots, one of the chief. He had the higher position, and he was rich. "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I had taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham." And here's a key. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd bless us in these few minutes we have together to really get what you have for us. I pray that you'd help us just to understand a little bit tonight, and maybe it's just a refresher for some of us, why we have such a heart for missions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this is the story of Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus came to Christ, and he had heard about Christ. He was a publican. He was a leader of publican and tax collectors. One of the reasons they were hated is because a publican would be given a certain area he was to collect taxes, and a certain amount he was to turn in. By the way, he was a tax collector for the Roman government, and Israel was not sovereign at this time, so he was seen, first of all, as a traitor. Second of all, he was a tax collector. Third of all, they were dishonest. There was a certain amount of money they had to turn in, and anything they would get over and above that, they would keep for themselves. And obviously, he must have done a really good job with that. He was rich. But he hears about Jesus Christ, and maybe there's something inside of him that was empty. Living a life, really being almost like an enemy in his own homeland and maybe a little bit deceitful and making money in a deceitful way. Whatever it was, there was something about him that caused him to be empty, and he wanted to see who Jesus was. Jesus sees him. Of course, he's small. He climbs up to the tree. He sees Christ, and Christ stops and looks at him. He says, "I'm going to eat your house today." And obviously, we can tell by the results here that he comes to trust Jesus Christ. That something happened in him is evident, is that he's willing to give money back that he had taken deceitfully. But as this whole story unfolds, and here is someone who meets the Lord, and obviously something happens in his heart after he meets the Lord, Jesus uses this as a lesson to show us why he came. He said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." We could simply say this if we look at what the purpose of our church should be. The mission of the church is missions. It's missions. We talk about the Great Commission. The Great Commission is missions. Commission to get the gospel out to the whole world, starting with where we are at personally and going out from here. That's what our church seeks to do. You know, you're early in my Christianity, I didn't quite understand missions. As a new Christian going to church, as an 18-year-old, I'm going to services, and occasionally they would have a missionary in. And I would think, now wrongly now, because I didn't get it, I'm thinking, oh man, Brother Black's not preaching tonight. Ah, that's just a missionary. I remember one time I got the flu, and I was sick on a Wednesday night, and I didn't go, and my mom went. And I stayed home, and she came home, and I'm like, what did Pastor Black preach about tonight? She goes, he didn't preach tonight. We had a missionary. And in my ignorance, I said, wow, good, I didn't miss anything. I just didn't understand it. Now I get it. The mission of the church is to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And it's a vital thing, and it's the heart of God. Why do we put such a premium on it? I have like probably 7 points, and they're all brief, and they build upon one another. They're very practical and very common sense. I just want it reconfirmed in our hearts today. So let me just give them to you. Number one, Jesus' purpose in coming to earth was the salvation of mankind. That's where it all starts. Why in the world did Jesus come to this earth? Christmas is coming in a few months. And, you know, we'll all get the manger and all that stuff. And I think we have a manger scene here we put up with all this stuff. And that's great. And that's Christmas. That's not Christmas. Christmas is God taking flesh for a purpose. It was a purpose. His purpose was the salvation. Now, not everybody will accept it, but Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, had to come to this earth and take flesh and be born of a virgin. That's an important doctrine, or else he would have been a sinner just like everybody else. And because he was born of a virgin, he lived a perfect life. He never sinned. Therefore, he was not under the curse of sin. He was not under the penalty of sin. He didn't need to die. So why did he die? Was he not fast enough to get away? No, because before his time, you remember there were some times he was in a crowd and the people were going to stone him. And he just walked right out like, my time's not yet. You're not going to get me until the time's right. He allowed himself to be taken. He allowed himself to be beaten. He allowed himself to be crucified on the cross. Why? Because as it said in this whole story of Zacchaeus, as he wraps up what happened to Zacchaeus in a nutshell, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. Let's thank God that if you've trusted Christ, that someone told you about Jesus. You see, if that hadn't passed on from the time of Christ until now, this person trusting Christ and telling them, and go, none of us would be saved. But who did it start with? It started with Jesus Christ. That's why he came to this earth. That's a great thing. That's one of the reasons we celebrate and we take the Lord's Supper. So we'll never forget what Jesus did for us. Let's never get over our salvation. But that was Jesus' purpose. Number two, Jesus chose Christians as his method for getting the gospel out now that he has returned to heaven. That's his method. He doesn't write the gospel in rain clouds. He doesn't, you know, send it to our heart and magically we are in bed and we have this magical dream and the gospel. That's not his chosen method. His chosen method is in Matthew chapter 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all, even unto the end of the earth. He gave us a command. The command is you go give the gospel. You go out and share the good news. Jesus uses individuals to spread his word. That's where it comes from. He came, and that was his purpose, to die on the cross. And now he's paid the price, and now it's our responsibility to get the word out. That's why we go out on our Tuesday nights. Coming up starting next week, Brother Machado, we'll start having sign-ups for our one-by-one. And that's a time, and by the way, thank you that you are, and we have a church that's already interested in sharing the good news. We had such a tremendous summer. Just consistently, several hundred people here every Tuesday night, simply to get the word out about Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. And let's show up for one-by-one training. We'll have two different trainings, but what is it all about? It's about getting the gospel out. I'm glad someone showed me how to share the good news. Remember, it was Brother Esposito, and I was a new Christian, and Brother Esposito just happened to be, he came back from somewhere. He was out of town, and he wasn't living in Long Beach at that time, and he came back, and he gave me a little outline, and here's what you got to tell people, and here's the verses, and I got a New Testament. I taped it on the inside of that New Testament. I didn't know where the verses were. I didn't have everything memorized, but I had it right there so I could remember it. And I went out, and we started sharing the gospel with people. That's what he wants us to do. If we're going to be obedient Christians, we need to grow to the place where we share our faith with others. Well, remember a guy came one time. He said he didn't go to our church, but the church he went to didn't have a baptistry. And I don't think he was real faithful, but he came. I want to be baptized at your church. We don't have a baptistry. And so I was talking to him a little bit about it in my office. And I don't know how he started asking about other things. And we were talking about sharing the gospel missions. He goes, oh, I do that, but I don't do it personally. That's not me. He goes, I give money so that others can do it. I'm not combative, but since, you know, he's in my office, I'm like, well, that's nice, and we have to do that. I said, but that doesn't let you off the hook. I said, God wants you to be responsible and learn how to tell somebody about the Lord. That's all of ours. We do it because we're Christians. Number three, the local church, which is his called out assembly of believers, Christians, is responsible to share the gospel with the entire world. Now, we're responsible personally to get the gospel out in our area. That's why on our missions conference goals, I think I have one with me, on our missions conference goals, our goals are several missions endeavors we want to support and take on financially, but we also have some local goals, to have a great fall program, to have a great friend day, to have a great one-by-one, so that we're fulfilling our responsibility to share the gospel here. But wait a minute, just because God has us physically here doesn't mean we're not responsible to get the gospel everywhere in the world. Acts 1:8 says, this is Jesus' last words to the church, really, before he takes off to heaven. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Talking to this group, the beginning of the church. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. They probably knew that. They were already starting. But he tells them where. Both in Jerusalem, both means simultaneously, Jerusalem, all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Didn't he also say that in Matthew 28? He's reiterating it. Saying, listen, you're responsible to be a witness, not just here. And he starts in Jerusalem and goes a little bit farther and a little bit farther. And then basically it's like the whole world. We're responsible as a church and as individual Christians within this church to make sure that we're doing everything we can to get the gospel out to the entire world. See, that's pretty daunting. It is, but God wants us to be involved. And I'm going to tell you in a few minutes how we specifically do that. You may already know that. But some way, somehow, we're supposed to do it. You say, well, I don't, you know, this is my life here. This is where God has me. I'm not traveling anywhere. How am I going to do that? We're all responsible to do it. By the way, I appreciate we have several from our church who have left as missionaries. And pretty much all of them have been up to Alaska. And there's a group of churches there that are just dynamic missions churches. Brother Vong, I think, told me a story. Now, some of these churches are in small areas. There's not a lot of people in their area. There's not. Some of them are cut off. You know, to go to the next town, you got to fly. And they don't have a lot of people in their area. Now, they reach out the best that they're reaching out. But, you know, how much can you reach out if you got 2,000 people in your area? 3,000. He said there was one church there. They had a church building. It fit them. It was fine. But it was a little bit old, and they had this core of believers. They thought, well, let's build ourselves a new building, a newer building, because this one's a little bit older. Then the pastor came and said, you know what? We're not going to do that. We don't need a new building. We fit where we're at. Let's just give that money to missions. Whenever our guys go up to Alaska, there's church, they're heavily involved. Why? Because they see their responsibility as we need to see our response. Now, we can say, well, that's different. They live in some little small town up there. They don't have a lot of people. I know, we have people everywhere, don't we? But just because we're reaching out as far as we can, we talked about this morning, seeing it, seeing the need and seeing people and wiping away the facade and seeing the emptiness that are in people's lives, But just because we're doing that, we still need to be involved as a church to get the gospel to the whole world. Number four, the only way that responsibility will be achieved is if someone will go to them. Someone will go to them. Remember? Jesus uses human instruments to spread the gospel. So he needs someone to go and share that good news. I'm not going to read all the verses, but the verses we use for when we're sharing the gospel with somebody, when we share to them how they receive Christ, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a verse right after that. All the verses leading up to that are how to trust Jesus as Savior. And then as soon as that verse is given, he switches gears. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? He says, now here's how you get saved. Here's the gospel. But then he says, how can someone do that if they don't believe? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? He says, now all this we told you, people aren't going to trust Christ if they don't believe. And they can't believe if they've never heard. And then he says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Don't think of that as, you know, someone to go pastor church. It's Christian giving forth the truth. So someone needs to tell them. And how shall they preach except they be sent? You notice, you see the progression. He goes, here's how you get saved, but no one's going to get saved if they don't believe. But then they can't believe if they don't hear. And they can't hear unless someone tells them. And someone can't tell them unless somebody sends them. Notice the progression. God wants someone to go to these places. And if not, that responsibility we have to share the gospel worldwide will not take place. Now, let's be thankful we've had several from our church that are on the mission field. We have quite a few. We've had, I don't know how many staff members we've had up and go. We got rid of the ones we didn't want anymore. Don't worry about it. Just kidding. Some of our best. By the way, when someone comes and says, God's called me to the mission field, we don't say, oh man, you need to stay here. We're like, amen, go. You go. We want them to go. Number five, we can fulfill our Christian and our church responsibility to win the world in places that we can't personally go by supporting those missionaries that are being sent. Now, and I think everybody ought to be open to what God wants. I don't think we call God's will what God exactly wants us to do. I don't think God's will has a geography, geographical bounds. We kind of need a special call to leave the country, and that's fine. But really, if God's harvest field, as we talked about, is the whole world, I don't think there ought to be geographical boundaries. It ought to just be, Lord, where do you want me to go? If it happens to be in America, okay. If it's not in America, then go wherever God wants you to go. Okay, that let's not put boundaries on it. But if God hasn't called us to go, well, this is where God wants me. That's great. We can still be involved. How do we do that? We support those that are going. The great Baptist missionary William Carey. He was preaching and he had some messages he had preached, and a man named Andrew Fuller heard these messages, and so he was motivated and he started the Baptist Missionary Society. Well, William Carey was felt led of God to go to him and say, I'll be one of your first missionaries. I'll go to India. At the age of 33. Andrew Fuller said this of the spiritual crop and reaching men in India. He pictured it as mining a diamond mine. Here's what he said of it. He said, there is a gold mine, he told William Carey. There is a gold mine in India, but it seems as deep as the center of the earth. Who will venture to explore it? He's saying, spiritually speaking, it's like there's a huge cave where these people are. No one's there, and someone's got to launch out on the rope and go down and reach these people there. And William Carey said this, I will go down, but remember, you must hold the ropes. What's he saying? I'll go. God's called me to go. I'll get on that rope and I'll go down, as it were, to reach these people. But you here in this society and you in the churches in America, you better hold that rope while I'm down there. You know how we hold the rope? Yeah, we pray for our missionaries. And by the way, we need to pray for our missionaries. But let me say this, prayer without works is dead, being alone. Now, that's not scripture, that's me. We're going to pray for the missionary. We're going to send him on his way, but we won't support him. They need to live. They need to be able to be taken care of and by their needs in the church taken care of. That comes as churches here support them. And the church's support comes as individual members in the church say, I will give towards missions. It's our responsibility. Number six, Pacific Baptist Church's chosen plan to support those missionaries that are going is done through our faith promise giving. And that's what it's all about. We don't hide it. We don't say, missions revival, man, we're going to see some videos. We're going to look at the flags. I still don't get that the Ugandan flag has a chicken on it. I don't know what animal that is. You know, and all these different, wow, this is neat. Next week it's going to be neat. I can wear my Chinese ninja outfit. By the way, next Sunday, I'm going to wear a ninja shirt, and I'm going to break my head on a board. You'll catch that in a minute, okay, because I'm not breaking the board. Oh, man, we're going to have a great time, and then we're going to get out here, and we're going to have all the food, and you can bring a handful of dollars, and we can buy a hot dog if that's American food, okay? You can buy this, that, and the other, and all that stuff. We're going to have a good time. It's missions. Let me just tell you something. The missions revival isn't about the flags, although I like the flags. It's not about the food, although I like the food. Let me just be up front with you, and let me be as honest as I can be. It's about you and me giving our money to support missions worldwide. That's what it's about. I'm not lying to you. I'm not going to hide it, okay? We're going to have a faith promise offering. That's what we do. What is faith promise offering if you don't know? Here's what it is. Over and above your regular giving. For a Christian, Brother Pichardo, what's the first thing we give? Tithe, right, good. Okay, you get 1 point. Brother Potato, back to you. No, that's tithe. So that's our first giving. We give the tithe. Then over and above the tithe, many of our people in our church, due to our new building, are giving over and above their tithe to the new building to help get that done. But in 1994, our church started Faith Promise Missions. What we do when we have faith, our conference, and we renew it every year, is to say, what would God have you to give over and above your regular giving to go straight to missions to support missionaries worldwide? I think that first missionaries conference, I think we didn't support missions at that time. We started as a missions church. You know the story. And so we brought six missionaries in, and all of us committed to give something, either weekly or monthly, towards missions. We looked at the money. Enough was promised by faith to come in. So by faith, we took those six missionaries on. That's faith promise missions. That's how we support missions worldwide. What are we asking you to do? We're asking you to pray and ask God, over and above your giving, God, what would you supply through me to missions? 1994, I think our family started with maybe $50 a month. And every single year, and sometimes twice a year, we've increased it. It's pretty substantial now. Oh, but that's a waste of money. That's money that could go to the building. No, that's money that goes to missions. Well, but have you ever not been able to pay it? No, because by faith, I've slowly increased, and by faith, God has always provided. Faith promise. Missionaries, it's funny how, and our church isn't like this, but it's funny how people get on missionaries too much. I've talked to our guys that travel. You know, if they drive too new a car when they're on deputation, the church won't take them on. What kind of garbage is that? You know, your dress, listen, does this guy have the call of God on his life? If we feel as a church he does and he's here and we feel God wants us to support him, we're going to support him. We're going to support him. And thankfully, through the years, our church has been great at that. It started in our church with us supporting those that were going to the mission field. And excitingly, over the last 5 years, it's changed to where now we're not only doing that, people from our church are leaving and going to the mission field. It's a very exciting thing. That's our plan. Number seven, And by the way, let me say this. Say, well, what about our needs in the church? And I'll be honest with you, we have needs in the church. But here's the way, and I heard someone say this, and I don't think it's necessarily scriptural, but I kind of like it. He said a church giving to missions is like a Christian tithing to their church. The church needs to give to others also. And I think that's right. There's missionaries that need us to support them. Yes, we have needs. You say, well, are you saying that our church has all the money it needs? Let me say this. No. No, no church does. We need to still give here. But I'm saying, why don't we pray and say, God, what would you want me to give over and above my tithe and if you give to the building already so that I can support missionaries worldwide? By the way, when they come back and Brother Good Pastor showed what was going on in the Philippines, do you understand something? That's our investment. It's our investment. You know, people get an investment. My 401k, and I know over the past, since 2008, the 401k has become a 302b. It's not good. But, you know, if I had this stock, and I invested in this stock when it was a quarter. But I heard the Amazon employees, before Amazon went public, when they were first working at Amazon in the early days, they offered them stock options for a quarter of stock. And their people were buying them up. And guess what happened when they went public? And they were like $200. They were millionaires. Wow, what a great investment. I know a better investment. I know a better investment. Investing in a missionary that's going to bring in some eternal rewards. Number 7, our faith promise giving is to missions allows our church to be obedient to great commissions worldwide. You say, well, I don't want to give. Are you willing to go? Well, you know, God hasn't called me to go. And that's fine if God's not called you to go. Then you need to pray and get involved in missions some way. Now, don't just pray and not, don't just give and not pray. I'm not saying that. They need prayer. You hear the stories of Brother Esposito and Brother Board when he's here and some of the others. They face things we don't face here in America. They need prayer, but let's give. Now, 2 or 3 minutes and we're done. Practically speaking, what should I do to fulfill Christ's last command to spread the gospel? Let me just give these to you and we're done. And all of this is about preparing us for next Sunday's faith promise offering and our revival in general. 4 practical things. Number one, the first one is learn how to share the gospel personally. You say, you know what? I'm going to give $1,000 a month to missions. Amen. That'd be great. And we don't have people that can give $1,000 a month, but I'm not going to share the gospel. I'll share the gospel through giving to missions. It's not an option. We need to personally be involved with telling people about Jesus. Yeah. So I don't know how. I can help you with that too. Next Sunday, when we're having our International Sunday and we're in our Kung Fu Ninja clothes and we're breaking boards with our heads, we're breaking our heads with boards and we're eating food and we're having a good time and we're looking at Brother Esposito. He'll have some presentation, he usually does, about what's going on in Cambodia, and we're fired up, and that's all good. You know, we'll also have sign-ups for one-by-one training so we can learn how to share the gospel with somebody. If someone came to you and said, you're a Christian, what does that mean? Could you tell them? Bible tells us to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that we have. And I'm not doing that to shame you. That was a time I didn't know. I'm telling that to say, if you don't know, let's learn. So we can. Next, be willing to go personally. Now, most of us, we're not, you know, most of you are not trained or ministry, or God's not called you. But some of you in here, God might. Always be open. Always be open to what God has. So do you want, you know what I want? I just want people to do whatever God wants them to do. That's all. If God is not prompting you to go to the missions field, then be involved here as heavily as you can and give to mission to those who go. But if God's prompting you, don't push that to the back. Be open to it. Don't feel guilty if God's not prompted you to go. Pray for him. Give. Be involved that way. But let's not neglect it if God does call. Next, allow God to speak to you in this area of missions. many of you, maybe you're, I know some of you are newer to the church, and maybe you weren't here last year, and some of you are new in your faith, and you're growing and coming on Sunday nights, and this is your church, you've become members and all those things. Maybe you don't give to missions yet because you've just gotten in with us. Let God speak to you over the next few days. Start thinking. I want you to start thinking now, as all of us should. Lord, what do you want me to give to missions, either weekly or monthly, whatever works for you, over and above what I'm giving to reach the world? Start thinking about it. By the way, God will give you an amount. Sometimes I'm not good. I wasn't good at this. I remember one time, you know, I was a missions director at that time, and I was handling the whole missions conference. We had like six or seven guys here, and I was busy, and, you know, everybody pray. And to be honest with you, I'm just confessing, I hadn't prayed very much about it. And we were sitting over there, and pastor's talking. I'm thinking, I didn't pray about this very much. I'm like, Lord, so you know, I'm not saying do this. I'm like, Lord, you know, I really, and I just sat there and there in a service. I think, well, Lord, what do you want me to give, you know? And a number came to my mind. So my wife was sitting next to me. I thought, I'll ask her. Maybe she has a smaller number. No, I'm kidding. It's like, what do you think we should give over and above what we're giving? And you know, Brother Pichardo, she gave the exact same number I gave. Now, that's not the optimal way to do it, okay? But why don't you start thinking and praying, Lord, what would you want me to give to missions? By the way, I have no problem asking for that because that's not selfish. It does nothing for us. I know you know what I mean. It doesn't pay the light bills. It doesn't pay for the stay. It doesn't clean up around here. It's not helping the building to get more nails. It's not doing anything in that way. But it's doing a lot for us. It's making us the kind of church God wants us to be. And then, as I mentioned, lastly, get involved financially. Say, it's tight. You know, I'm praying. I don't know. Do something. Start little. I'd want to be involved some way. It could be that someone that struggles and only gives a small amount because that's all they got and that's all they have and that's all gives them, God gives them, that might be more than someone that gives more and has a lot of abundance. It's not the amount. It's what does God want you to do? That's the real thing. Why do we have missions, Brother Myers? Why are we always, we talk about it a lot in the Southeast Asian teams, and man, we got these teams in Southeast Asia. Now we're going to go to China? Yes, we are. Why? Because it's a command. We have to. It's not an option. So let's make sure that we all as a church, and we do, we're great. You're great, folks. I appreciate you to pieces, but let's make sure that we're doing our part. Let's be open this missions conference, shall we? Let's stand together this evening.